T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Buick GMC Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Alex Dotto Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
Yes!
Oh, it is.
It is.
The 8 o'clock hour, my friends, of the Alex Dotto Show here on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM. Streaming online at WQAM.com. We'll have clickbait coming up later this hour. If you want to get in, talk some Dolphins, talk some Canes, talk some Heat. They're playing in Mexico City this year. I'm just glad they're not losing a home game. So they're going to play the Brooklyn Nets December 9th, a regular season game in Mexico City. But it's the Nets who are losing the home game, not the Miami Heat. So you still have 41 games at the American Airlines Arena. That's all I care, because they put so much focus over the years in Asia, specifically mainland China. And I know that some of that support has died down since Yao Ming's career ended years ago, because he was the big draw from the Chinese for so many years. Like They would spend so much money there, the billions of people who live there, on the Yao Ming jerseys. The TV ratings were through the roof. It's a little bit harder when you don't have a superstar of that magnitude, but the game is still pretty big in Asia. The game is very big in Europe, places like Spain, where they play at a high level, a place like Italy. I've got family over there. My uncle is maybe the strangest human being on the planet. Zio Beppe, over there in Milan, Italy. He actually prefers basketball over soccer. Like, he's the one Italian who prefers basketball over soccer. He's a big AC Milan fan in soccer, but my uncle actually prefers watching Italian league basketball to watching Serie A soccer. It's why my father's the brains of that family, not my uncle. My uncle is not the one who got that great intellect that my father got, but he actually prefers watching basketball over soccer over there in Italy. And, you know, Argentina, Puerto Rico, the game is very big, but, you know, I guess the NBA really now wants to force the issue and grow the NBA ratings and merchandise sales and grow the game of basketball down in Mexico. The UFC has done a lot of that over the years. They started holding events in Mexico City 3 or 4 years ago. So they're really trying to tap that market of Mexican fans. The NFL has held games in Mexico City before. So the Miami Heat will be ambassadors of the greatest basketball league on the planet. They will be NBA ambassadors in Mexico City December 9th, and it should be a nice TV event to watch. Kelly Olynyk will be in a Heat uniform this year. Kelly Olynyk, who already is, he's taking to and appreciating the Miami Heat culture, and he's also appreciating the Miami weather. And if you can appreciate the weather in August, then yeah, I'm sure he's going to love it come winter. He recently held an Everything Must Go garage sale up in Charleston or Charlestown, Massachusetts, where he had his house up there. Everything Must Go garage sale, and it was like cold, chilly, and rainy, so he's happy to be down here now in Miami. And if you can appreciate the weather we're having in August, where it's like 98 is the high and 89 is the low, then once you actually get to the time when it's really worth living down here, you know, it's great to live here year-round, don't get me wrong, but once you hit November, December, January, 75 degrees, it's cool enough at night, you're not burning up during the day, that's when the snowbirds come down here and try and steal our sun, but that's when it's worth living down here, man. I can make you this guarantee, friends. Jeb Bush will not own the Miami Marlins. You hear about this today? We're down a bidding group now. And then there were two. So Jeb Bush and Wayne Rothbaum were among the three bidding groups to buy the Miami Marlins from that crook Jeffrey Loria. But apparently Wayne, who was the big money guy, Rothbaum, he was the one putting in the majority of that money there, has decided that he's too frustrated. Yeah, he had made a $1.17 billion bid for the Marlins. And Jeffrey Loria, You see what he's doing here. He's prolonging this, and it seems like the only buyer that Loria is willing to sell to is Derek Jeter. Like, as if Derek Jeter's money is green and everybody else's is counterfeit. I really don't get it. Like, is Jeffrey Loria, I know he's a Yankees guy, is he that much of a Yankees and Derek Jeter fanboy that he's willing to potentially get less money for his baseball team as long as it's Derek Jeter's money? And by the way, most of it is not Derek Jeter's money. He's putting up $25 million, and his other investors have to put up the rest of that damn near $1 billion to get this thing done, well, over $1 billion to get this thing done. But Jeffrey Loria apparently is intent on selling this thing to Derek Jeter and no one else. I've been saying it for over a month now. Jorge Mas is the guy that I want, right? I mean, maybe if Jeter can find a way to join Mas's group, Jorge Mas is the guy I want because he's an actual billionaire. I want somebody with deep pockets owning my team. I don't want an owner on welfare. And of course, you're talking about millionaires here. But if you have the choice between a group of millionaires or a billionaire owning your baseball team who may actually be able to spend on free agents and may actually be able to improve the product rather than somebody who doesn't have pockets to dip into, I would like the billionaire to be the one owning this team. But Jeffrey Loria seems so dead set on shaking Derek Jeter's hand when he hands over the deed to his baseball team and his stadium that it may be at the expense of making some extra money on this. And I don't know if Jeter's group has the money yet. He keeps saying he's got it. Like, oh, I've got it. I've got the check for you. $1.2 billion, no problem. Yet reports say he's still calling prospective investors trying to raise more capital. And that's been a thing now for several months, is Derek Jeter not having enough money to really fund this sale. But I think this is bad for everybody. It's bad for leverage now to see a group drop out, to be down one group, because you had Rothbaum, Jeb Bush, you had Derek Jeter's group, you had Jorge Mas's group, and now we've seen one of those groups bite the dust. Although it wouldn't surprise me one bit if Jeb Bush turns up with somebody else, because he's been a part of like three different groups now, Jeb. Like, he wants to be in on this so badly, he'll hitch his wagon to whoever has some money to spend. But as for right now, Rothbaum and Jeb, according to Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, they are out of the running. The Heat better not drink the water over there, Texter writes. That's all I'm going to say about that when they're in Mexico. You know, I was in Mexico 5.5, 6 years ago for my honeymoon. Only time I ever, I stopped in Mexico on a cruise ship once years ago, but I'd never actually spent the night over there and all that. I was in Mexico for a week, and I didn't get sick. Well, like, let me say that. I was fine there. However, even when you're at the hotel in Mexico, they've got like a sign next to the shower, do not drink the water. Like, so you have to stand, like, you know, sometimes you stand with your face pointing to the shower head. No, stand the other way and pinch your nose closed if you have to keep the water out. And they even give you like bottles of water next to the sink that say brush your teeth with the bottled water, because they don't want tourists getting sick and writing bad reviews on TripAdvisor or, God forbid, suing the resort for getting sick. So, yeah, I would advise the Miami Heat when you're down there, don't drink the water. Drink the margaritas. That's OK. But don't drink the water down there. Let's talk to Ty in the Bronx. What's up, Ty?
Hey, Donald, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Good, man. How about you? I'm doing well.
Yeah, good. You know, I want to get the fantasy football with you, but before I do that, this Jordan Phillips clown.
I love the way you say that. Yeah, if he's got to be motivated by being number two on the depth chart, I don't know if this is the guy I want.
Exactly. And you know what I blame for that?
Who?
I blame one Michael Tannenbaum. Ooh. Because he went over Hickey couple of years ago in the second round to pick this loser so he can make himself look good. Well, I'm going to say it right now. If you guys don't bury Tannenbaum when this fat ass is on the bench, which he's going to end up being on the bench, you can tell this Gonchar kid is hungry. Do you agree with that?
Oh, no question. He is hungry. I mean, I still think that Jordan Phillips is capable of doing things physically that Gonchar and Vincent Taylor and some things even Ndamukong Suh is not capable of doing, but he can't get his head straight.
Let me ask you this question. Let's say they give him the starting spot. I'm going to pick a game for you, and you're going to say, yeah, this should do it. Game 4 in London, Adrian Peterson, 200 yards up the gut. Oof. If he's done in Miami.
He's done in the starting lineup if that happens, yeah.
Yeah, well, if he's done in the starting lineup with his contract coming up, he's done in Miami because they're not going to give him an extension and he's incompetent and don't work hard.
Yeah, you're right. You're right because this is his third season coming up and it's do or die. Former second round pick, if you can't live up to the hype in your third season, then yeah, it's time to think about who's next and cut bait. You're right.
I like the fact that Harris, McMillan, and this kid Gonshaw are showing something already in camp. To me, that's a very encouraging sign because I never liked Misi. He's gone. I never liked, what's this guy's name again, was there last year? He was one of Jelani
Jenkins,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, Jenkins, he's a bum. He's gone. You now got a new, fresh trio of linebackers, and I like that McMillan kid who's at Ohio State. He stood out to me. Remind me of Bobby Wagner, by the way. And if he is half of Bobby Wagner, they stole him in round two. But what encourages me is that this Gonshaw kid is showing the coaching staff hunger. Now, I want to do fantasy football with you real quick.
All right, what do you got?
I know last night I told you about Cutler. And I will start Cutler because I'm the type of guy, I build talent around the quarterback. I'm not a guy that I'm going to go out and get Aaron Rodgers. I did it 1 year, and it won me a championship. I went the year before, I went 3-11. And I'm going to tell you a little story about that real quick. You know, I had the sixth pick, right, Alex?
Yeah, six overall.
The guy in front of me had the fifth pick. This is the year 2009,
okay,
and he showed the world what team a fan he was. You know who he picked in front of me?
Who did he pick?
Chad Pennington.
Oh, my God.
Here's me. I'm sweating.
Fifth overall pick? Was he drunk?
Yeah, I'm sweating. And I'm like saying, damn, because if I don't get Rodgers, what am I going to do at quarterback? And he went up, and he put his card up, and it was Chad Pennington. I picked. Loaded, laughing. I didn't even take a card up. I just put the sticker on the billboard. I shoved the girl. It was at Hooters. I shoved the Hooters girl. Get the hell out of my way.
Who did you pick then? Who did you pick?
Aaron Rodgers.
All right.
I won the championship that year.
Good for you. I could
not believe that this guy picked Chad Pennington at three.
It's a homer.
And you know what he did? And Alex, you know what happened when he got hurt? You know what he did?
What did he do? He picked up Chad Henne?
He quit.
The league.
Yeah, because he had no quarterback.
Oh, man.
He didn't believe in Chad Henne, you know. And this is what happens, folks. See, I'm a pro at fantasy sports, folks.
It sounds like you play with amateurs, though. If you got guys picking Chad Pennington, it sounds like you're the pro. You're like a ringer in that league.
No. It's just that sometimes, you know what it is? Especially in baseball. And I know you don't play baseball. You got these Wall Street suit guys, especially in baseball, Alex, that they walk in with their $1,000 suits, with their super Intel laptops, thinking that they're smarter than everybody else because we play for big money. And what they don't realize is the guy who has an average Joe job, you know, or have a career in carpentry or woodwork, it's just as smart and big a baseball fan as you. But in football, the best, and you know this, you play fantasy football, it's jungle. Because you don't know what guy you're competing against,
right,
what their strategy is. See, I don't play in a friends league, a buddy league. I find out where the money is. I get invited to those leagues because guys like me around the country because they know that I'm a good player and I play fair. But like I told you, I will get receivers the first three rounds.
Well, let me let you run, dude, because we got others waiting, Ty.
All right, bro. Alex, you have a good weekend, bro. I love you, man. I'll talk to you next week.
You too, man. So I see he had a guy in his league in 2009, took Chad Pennington with a fifth overall pick. I'm hoping that we can have some fun at my buddy Frank Zaffrey's expense this year. Frank Zaffrey, Frankie Z, my fight night partner, he's going to he's joining the WQAM league this year. And he's never played fantasy football before. So I'm hoping like he's taking Jay Cutler with his first round pick, or he's wondering, oh, where are all the defensive players? Or he's taking a kicker in the third round. I'm hoping that that he can be like our bye week this year. The fifth pick usually comes before the sixth pick. A texter writes, "Oh, they're having fun at Ty's expense with that story." 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. Please don't text and drive. Texter writes in, "Donna, when you're as massive as Mr. Stephen Ross, you don't need to try to save pennies by not buying planes. You save the big write-offs against taxes. Why buy trouble for yourself? How old are those planes the Patriots bought?" They looked relatively new to me. Boeing 767s, the two planes the Patriots bought, and they modified them so every section is first class. There's no coach in there. And I'm sure they will meet Tom Brady's dietary restrictions. No tomatoes, no eggplants, whatever that guy doesn't eat. What's going on, Solana? You got something?
Yeah, I say this in the best way possible to say it.
Mm-hmm.
Do Tom and Bill fly in separate planes?
Ooh, that may be why they have two planes, right? Because they bought two planes. So that may be like number two through number 53 on the roster. They all fly on one plane. And then Tommy Brady and Bill Belichick fly on the other plane. And they don't even see each other. Like, you've got like a divider between like super first class where Tom Brady sits and regular first class where Bill Belichick sits. And they don't even have to look at each other the entire flight. I see it like that. Like, I see it like the plane that Bruce Wayne and Alfred flew in The Dark Knight. Like, I see it like that kind of a plane, man. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. You can get in by the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. We'll have clickbait coming on a little bit later this hour. They're still trying to sell this thing, man. Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor. You think that anybody who's watching that fight, haven't you made up your mind by now? I don't, how many last-minute sales are they going to get for that? And I'm not saying you've already clicked order on it, because nobody ever does that until the day of the fight. But if you are like in their target audience, young men, you know, middle-aged guys, 18 to 54, 25 to 54, 18 to 40, whatever you are, you're in that target audience. They're going to sell millions of pay-per-view buys. Are you still on the fence about this thing? Because like that world tour that they had in July was pretty deplorable by the end of it. Like, they ran out of material. All they're doing is cursing at each other. It was an embarrassment. But I don't know if that dissuaded anybody from buying it. Like, I think anybody who has made up their mind on this already knows whether they're boycotting it, like some of you say you are, or whether you're all in on ordering this thing. And, I mean, to me, the more interesting stories have been Conor McGregor being kind of a dirtbag with sparring partners, right? Like, I'm a huge Conor McGregor fan. I think he's great for combat sports. He's a great ambassador because he's electrifying on the microphone. You know, he's very clever with the trash talk. He's done wonders for the UFC. Like, he is their cash cow, their bell cow. He's their poster boy right now. I don't have very many issues with Conor McGregor, but one issue that I do have is throwing sparring partners under the bus. Like, that is a sacred bond in the fight game, whether you're a boxer or an MMA fighter. When you have sparring sessions, you bring in people like Pauly Malignaggi to spar with you. You don't share those trade secrets, and you especially don't lie about what happened. Like, Pauly Malignaggi, he left McGregor's camp just in disgust, just up and left, because Conor McGregor's entourage, his people, his lackeys, his hangers-on, they posted this photo on social media of Malignaggi laying on his back with McGregor standing over him, saying, oh, did Conor McGregor knock out Pauly Malignaggi in sparring? Apparently, that's not what happened. Apparently, he tripped him in sparring, fell down, and McGregor's stupid hangers-on tweeted out the photo. Did he knock out Pauly Malignaggi? You can imagine if you're Malignaggi, you're a former boxing champion, recently retired, and the MMA guy is claiming to have knocked you out in sparring. That's going to piss you off. To no limit, that's going to piss you off. Not only do you not talk about what happens in sparring sessions, because the context is all over the place. In a sparring session, you don't know what guys are working on, right? Because sometimes it's not about winning a sparring session. It's about working things out. It's about getting different looks. So you don't talk about it. You especially don't lie about it. And so, of course, Malignaggi left in disgust. That's the one thing I take issue with Conor McGregor, because he did the same thing to Chris Van Heerden, who he sparred with last summer. You know, he released this edited video, and it was so choppy. Like, who doesn't see through that? When the footage is all choppy, you only see it when McGregor is landing a punch, then it skips ahead to the next time he lands a punch. But it still, it makes Van Heerden, who's a professional boxer, trying to make a name for himself, makes him look terrible. But then you've got this Floyd Mayweather coming out now. We'll have the audio coming up next. Floyd Mayweather basically saying, all the signs point to Conor kicking my ass. We'll have that for you next on Clickbait here on WQAM.
We know you spend a lot of time online. Well, so do we. Here's tonight's edition of Clickbait on the Alex Dono Show.
You know, God bless Floyd Mayweather. He's working so hard to try and convince people that his opponent actually has a chance. But he's only doing that so he can just laugh at everybody afterwards. And also, Floyd's got to be thinking about the legacy here. Because, you know, in reality, you shouldn't have to question 49-0 what he's accomplished. I know he's not always fought everybody in their prime. He fought Manny Pacquiao a few years too late, fought Canelo Alvarez a few years too early. So, okay, if you really want to, you can pick apart Floyd Mayweather's resume. Overall, though, to me, 49 years old, beat everybody soundly that was put in front of him. Maybe not the best ever, but best defensive fighter ever and one of the greatest of all time. But I think Mayweather is, he's very aware of the fact that he's about to go 50-0 and break Rocky Marciano's record. 49-0 is Marciano. Greatest record ever. Floyd is about to pass that in a joke of a fight, in a fight where his opponent doesn't have a chance. So rather than trash talking the way he normally does, I'm going to beat this bum, he's a loser, doesn't deserve to be in the same ring with me, which is all true. Rather than selling the fight that way, I think he's so concerned about at least convincing people that Conor McGregor has a chance that he says something this ridiculous. This is what Mayweather had to say about the odds for this fight on First Take.
He's taller, has a longer reach, he's a bigger man. From top to bottom, a lot younger, so youth is on his side, and I've been off a couple years. So, and now I'm in my 40s. So, you know, if you look at everything on paper, it leans towards Conor McGregor.
Everything on paper leans towards Conor McGregor. I think you skipped over the only stat that matters. You're 49-0 in boxing. He's 0-0 in boxing. I think that's a pretty important thing to put on the paper, right? Wouldn't you put that in the paper? That you're 49-0. You have soundly beaten everyone put in front of you. Conor McGregor has never boxed before. But yeah, you only bring up, oh, he's bigger than me. He's taller than me. He's younger than me. On paper, he should kick my ass. Well, no. Because I think a pretty important stat for that paper is the fact that you've boxed before and he hasn't. How about that? Isn't that a little bit important? And here's Mayweather. I think this is a little bit more honest.
This can't be a defensive fight.
Excuse me?
I got to go to him.
Are you saying that you're going to go to Conor McGregor?
I got to go to
him. You're not going to back up. You're going to go to him.
I have to go to him.
Why?
I got to do what I got to do. Because I owe the public for the Pacquiao fight. Since they wasn't pleased with the Pacquiao fight, they're going to be pleased with this fight right here.
See, I like that. At least admit that I stole your money 2 years ago. You know, for everybody out there, for the millions of people who spent $100 on that Pacquiao fight, and it wasn't all Mayweather's fault. Pacquiao fought like a bum, had a bad shoulder in that fight, shouldn't have fought in the first place. But that was not worth the money anybody spent on it. So I appreciate the candor of Mayweather coming out and saying, you know what? I owe people a good fight after that overhyped, under-delivering piece of garbage that Manny Pacquiao and I provided 2 years ago. I appreciate him saying that. Do you believe Floyd, though? 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. Please don't text and drive. Do you believe him, though, when he says he's really going to take it to McGregor and be aggressive? It's never been Floyd's MO. He's gone virtually his entire career counterpunching. Amazing defense, amazing head movement, but he's never consistently taken the fight to his opponents. Is this really the time at age 40 that he delivers on that and brings fireworks? I think it might be, and I'll tell you why. Going up against somebody who, on paper, should be ill-equipped to deal with him, boxing-wise, right? If you take the kicks, the knees, the takedowns, the elbows out of the equation for Conor McGregor, this is not the UFC. It's not his type of fight. He should be ill-equipped to hang with Floyd striking. So if Floyd gets comfortable those first couple of rounds and realizes this guy can't hurt me because he can't hit me, that should give him the opening to be aggressive and search for a knockout. And I think Floyd needs it. I really think he does. Because how else does Floyd win here in the court of public opinion? If you just cruise to a decision 12 rounds and don't really throw anything, if you cruise to a decision over a guy that you're supposed to beat, what does that do for you exactly? What does it do for your reputation? What does it do for your legacy? All it does is get you paid and get to 50-0. Maybe that's enough for him, right? Maybe the $200 million he's going to make from this fight, maybe that speaks for itself and he doesn't care how good he looks coming out of it. But if you really want to win in the eyes of fans, I think you've got to put McGregor to the canvas. You've got to TKO him, or better yet, knock him out. Because if it is a decision where McGregor shows some grit, shows some survival, and maybe steals a couple of rounds, but Floyd still cruises, that makes McGregor look better because he's the guy who's not supposed to do anything. If he gets through 12 rounds with Floyd Mayweather, I think McGregor comes out looking pretty good in this thing. So you may be wondering, well, how does Mayweather knock him out when he's got no power? He doesn't knock out anybody. Volume. He lands enough punches, he'll wear him down, TKO him, right? Because I expect he should be able to, on paper, land more punches against Conor McGregor than virtually anyone he's ever faced before. So I think that the end could come for Floyd by TKO. You wear him down enough, fifth round, sixth round, seventh round, you steal his soul with a TKO. I think that's how that thing would have to go for Floyd Mayweather Jr. On Floyd being an aggressive, Texter writes in, he won't do it at the off chance that Conor lands a flush left hand and knocks him the hell out. And that's McGregor's only chance in this fight. Although you're taking the 4-ounce gloves away from him for the 10-ounce boxing gloves, going to take some of that power away from Conor immediately. But that would be the only thing that makes Floyd hesitate, catching a counter. That would be the only thing that would make him hesitate in this fight. No, Alex, I don't believe it. Trying to get those last rounds of pay-per-view buys. If he did take it to him, wrote some nasty words I can't read, that he would get the bleep knocked out by McGregor. It's all about increasing pay-per-view viewers and increasing his take of the money. This fight is so fake, it's making me not want to watch it. If they would stop BSing, I would be more interested from Cookie Monster. So did anybody decide not to order it based on the media circus or not watch it? Because some of the things that were said on that world tour were pretty appalling. But I don't know if it really made anybody decide, you know what, I was planning on watching this at the sports bar. I was planning on buying it. Now I'm not going to. Dono, I don't give a bleep what Mayweather says. He needs to pay me to watch this fight. And thank you, Floyd, for your honesty from Horndog. We'll continue to tweet him for my refund from the Pac-Man fight, he writes. Oh, man. You know there's going to be people asking for refunds after this one as well. I guarantee you it's going to happen, right? Because people don't know what they're spending their money on. You're spending your money on a spectacle. You're spending your money on an event. You're spending your money on a circus. If you think you're buying Ali versus Frazier, you're going to be sadly disappointed in this thing. I'm not saying you shouldn't spend your money on it. I'm going to watch it. I'm going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy the walkouts. I'm going to enjoy the stylistic matchup. I'm going to enjoy the stare downs. I'm going to enjoy the body language, but I'm not expecting a knock them out, drag them out, 12-round epic for the ages. I'm not expecting that. You have to know what you're getting into with this one. And just like you should know what you're getting into with preseason football, right? Don't overhype yourself for Dolphins versus Falcons tomorrow night. This is not about watching Jay Cutler. He's not playing tomorrow. A couple people were asking me, by the way, if Jay Ajayi is playing tomorrow. Don't expect to see Jay Ajayi. That wasn't confirmed yesterday, but he's still in the concussion protocol as of yesterday. And Adam Gase told us yesterday he would be hard-pressed to play Jay Ajayi tomorrow night. Don't expect to see Ajayi. Expect to see a heavy dose of Kenyon Drake and a little Damian Williams as well, and some Storm Johnson. That's a guy to watch tomorrow night. If you expect to carry four running backs this year, I would love to see Storm Johnson, former UCF standout, and you may remember he had a cup of tea at the University of Miami before transferring. That would have been a match made in heaven. If he could have stayed a Cane, got a Miami Hurricane named Storm, that was a match made in heaven that didn't work out. But Storm Johnson is now a Miami Dolphin fighting for a roster spot. You're not watching this game tomorrow night to see Jay Ajayi or Jay Cutler or Cameron Wake and Dominican Sue or Laramie Tunsil, who just had a child. Congratulations to him. He's not playing tomorrow night. Mike Pouncey won't be playing in the preseason game. Ted Larson has got a bum bicep, so he's not playing tomorrow. You're not watching to see those guys tomorrow night. You are watching to see the Storm Johnsons and the Jakeem Grants and the Cordre Tankersleys and the Charles Harrises of the world. You're watching young players or guys battling for positions. You're watching Davin Godshaw, I think is how he likes it said, and Vincent Taylor. Like, you're watching rookies with something to prove. You're watching second, third-year guys. You're watching undrafted free agents trying to get a roster spot. Like, that's what you watch in the first preseason game and the fourth preseason game, for that matter. Right? Like, if you're actually looking to watch, like, a competitive half of football with starters out there, that's why you watch the dress rehearsal, the third preseason game. And that this year is going to be the Dolphins at the Philadelphia Eagles. That's going to be the third preseason game. So that's when you're actually going to see Jay Cutler probably play damn near two quarters of football when you're in Philadelphia. And, you know, a lot of people talking about fantasy football and gambling tonight. I've got the weirdest thing going. I was talked into this by our own Manny Chang, who's not working tonight, so I can make fun of him with impunity. But I got talked into this by Manny Chang. He and I, we've got a preseason bet. Like, who does that? Who does a preseason bet? Because he's a big Eagles fan. I'm a big Dolphin fan. So whoever loses that third preseason game, as if the results matter, has to wear the kilt to the next show. I've got that Scottish kilt in the back of my closet that I had to wear to the Miami Florida State game last year. I figure we've got to adapt the terms of this, right? Because, like, can we make it whoever wins the first half? Because the final score is not going to mean jack, right? Like, you might have, what if Jay Cutler goes out there in Philadelphia, throws three touchdown passes in the first half, and yet, you know, the Eagles with their fourth stringers score a bunch of touchdowns in the fourth quarter and the Dolphins lose 28-21. I feel like we need to adapt this bet to whoever wins the first half when the starters are out there. That's who really takes the cake here. Because if I lose on some, like, backdoor cover by a fourth stringer scoring a touchdown, I'm not going to be happy about this.
You have to wear a kilt, or whoever loses the bet has to wear a kilt,
yeah,
to the studio or to an actual Dolphins game.
Ooh. You know, here's the thing. I don't know if I could swing that, because I cover these Dolphins games in an official capacity. Like, would I get my credential taken away if I wear a kilt to the game? I love how Matt is, like, shaking his head. Like, you're trying to instigate this. Like, no, you'd be fine, bro. You'd be fine.
Wait, so the original bet was wearing a kilt to the studio.
Yeah, wearing a kilt to the studio for a show. Which is already embarrassing enough, because there's other people who work in this building.
The, like, only person who will see you and make fun of you is Channing Crowder. And that in itself is pretty scary.
That's not entirely true, though. I mean, that in itself would be fun and exciting, but I've got to walk by executives. Like, what if the big boss Steve Carver is here that day? Because sometimes he's out of the office taking meetings. But what if I have to walk by Mr. Carver? I have to walk by, like, five or six salespeople. I've got to walk by KISS DJs and Power 96 DJs. Well, I've got to walk by management. That's humiliating enough.
You better hope you can rock that kilt then, let me tell you.
God, I got the legs for it. You see that? Although, like, what would be the move? Because if I have to wear the kilt again, like, do I have to shave my legs? Does that look better? Or does it look better? Like, I need to get, like, the long plaid socks going? Because I don't know. Like, I have a bad feeling I'm going to lose this bet.
Definitely need the long plaid socks.
The long plaid
definitely socks.
Definitely.
And maybe some penny loafers to go along with the kilt.
You know, I don't own penny loafers. I don't know who does. I feel like I've got a couple of friends who own penny loafers. I own, like, cheap sneakers and I own one pair of dress shoes. I own one pair of flip-flops, and that's about it. No penny loafers in my closet.
I think men, you know, wearing kilts is in now in the United States. Kanye West wears a skirt every once in a while.
Oh, yeah, because I want to be like him.
I'm trying to think. Travis Scott? Dono, that's right up your alley, right? Travis Scott, Kanye West.
Who's Travis Scott?
Oh, man. Oh,
who man. Is that? I don't know who
He's
that is. Oh, see, okay, now, yeah, you lost me immediately. Is that somebody actually like Travis Scott? That doesn't sound like a rapper name.
We'll come back with this song at the next segment.
I thought to be a rapper, you've got to be Lil something. Like L-I-L has to be before your name. Like, I've never heard of this Travis Scott.
This should be called the Lil D Show.
And you're going to get way too good of a look at that when I'm wearing the kilt. That's going to be the problem. Get a Lil D. 56022 on the plumbers911.com text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Let's talk to Cookie Monster. You're on WQAM. What's up, Cookie?
Hey, yo, Lil D.
Oh, great. It's already catching on. Nice job, Jelana.
What's up, bro? You're going to be
True story. When it was like 3 years ago when I first started doing this show, like a solo show, because I used to do shows with Guzio before that and shows with other people. But when I first started doing this show, I desperately tried to make it catch on that instead of the Alex Dono show, we call this the ADS. Like ADS would be the name of my show. I tried to force that on America for like 2 weeks. It didn't catch on with anybody. I had to give it up. But maybe Lil D will catch on.
No, don't do that. It's going to ruin your image.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Lil D?
How about Big D?
How about Lil Dono?
That sounds way worse. I don't know.
Bro, I wanted to talk about the fight, man. Yeah, it's been 3 years, bro. I'm sorry.
No, for Mayweather-Pacquiao, that was 2 years ago.
No. It's been 3 years since you've been on air.
I think so. Maybe 2 years. No, it's been 3 years. Yeah, 2014. Yeah, it's been 3 years. Summer of 2014.
Dude, your family, bro. I've been listening to you that long.
I appreciate it, man. You know what? No lie. You listen to more of my shows than my own wife. Like, she gets so bored. Like, seriously. Like, you and I, this is like a common law marriage that we have. My own wife doesn't listen as much as you do.
Yeah, man, we get divorced, you know. I gotta take some of that money, bro.
There you go. There's no money to take, my friend. Don't hold your hands out for nothing.
Listen, bro, about that Mayweather fight, I was hearing you talking about it. I was like, I gotta jump on. Bro, come on, man. This is already getting ridiculous, bro. This is so staged. It is so staged that it's sad. Honestly, if they would have held back some of these antics that they're doing, I would probably be more interested in the actual fight.
And you hear these stories about them, like, sharing the same private jet and, like, giving each other hugs. Like, you do get the sense that there's really no hate whatsoever between the two of these guys. And I'm not saying the fight's going to be fake. Like, I think what happens in the ring is going to be real. But the buildup to this, it seems very fake to me, Cookie, because I think the two of these guys, I think they respect each other's swag and trash talk. I think they're having fun with this.
Yeah, bro. They sound like if they were best friends for years.
Yeah.
I mean, I was hearing, at the beginning, I was listening to all those, because it was all over Twitter. Oh, God, in New York. Oh, dude, they were saying literally the same exact thing from city to city. From city to city, the same exact thing. I already know Mayweather's speech. Easy work. Where's the easy work? Point at it. And that's it. That's all he will say the whole time. Where's the easy work? Point at it. He'll talk about his money, and that's it. Then Conor would just make fun of him and walk around with his arms open, showing whatever type of dress or whatever he had on that day. And me personally, I'm not going to watch the fight. If someone invites me to watch the fight, I'll go ahead, I'll bring some liquor, some beer, and I'll watch it.
Well, okay, like, you can't say you're not going to watch it, but as soon as somebody, like, you are going to watch it then, because you're going to have a friend or a neighbor watching it. You're going to find a way to watch it.
Right, but I won't pay for it. But guess what? If I don't get an invite, I'm not going to watch it. I know for sure.
Nobody invite Cookie Monster. Boycott the invite. Don't send him an invite.
No, send... invites are welcome, but I wouldn't care if I don't get an invite. But you, come on, bro. You know about fights. You know what it's about. I mean, look at the John Jones fight.
What about now, it? That was fantastic.
That was a fight. You could tell that was a fight because they didn't talk about it. They didn't talk about it. Like the fighters, they weren't making the show. Oh man, I can't wait to kill him, bro. It's just, you know what it is. I dislike you. You dislike me. We're gonna take it down in the fight. And I felt bad for him, bro.
Well, let me let you run on that note. But no, listen. John Jones, Daniel Cormier last month, better fight than Mayweather McGregor is gonna be. Then in boxing, Triple G Canelo in September, better fight than Mayweather McGregor is going to be. Doesn't mean I'm not gonna watch it though. We'll take more calls on the other side. Preseason Dolphin calls, Hurricane quarterback calls. They're still deciding whether to have full contact for the quarterbacks this coming Saturday. You think that's a good idea? It's a good idea to risk injury if that also means finding how these guys handle themselves under pressure. Is the risk worth the reward to have Malik Rozier, Evan Sheriffs, and the Golden Boy, Nikosi Perry, to have them suspect to full contact? Is it worth it? The Alex Donner Show continues next here on WQAM.
Don't you open up that window. Don't you let out that antidote. Yeah! Popping, popping, though we know.
All right, so the guys, Matt and Alex back there, they promised they were going to play me a song from that rapper I didn't know. So, okay, this is Rick Scott, right? Governor Rick Scott. What's this guy's name, really? Travis Scott? I know I've heard this song before 100 times. I just don't know anybody's name.
Yeah, it's Travis Scott.
All right, I'll remember this for like a day, and that'll be it. Do people still sell, like, albums? Because you were talking during the break about, like, Jay-Z posing with a platinum record. Like, who goes platinum when everybody steals your music now?
Actually, artists, I guess, are reaching out to people more now with this these new mediums, Apple Music, Spotify.
Oh, that's true.
Jay-Z actually uses his own, I guess you could say, distribution company when it comes to music.
Uh-huh.
It's, I guess, not a distribution company, but it's like a streaming service called Tidal.
Huh.
And in order to listen to Jay-Z's albums, Beyonce's albums, Kanye's albums, like the first 2 weeks that they're released, you have to have Tidal.
Interesting, because I remember, like, I was in high school when the first version of Napster came out, and, like, I was the only guy who couldn't figure out how to use it. Like, I didn't know how to download software. I totally missed out on that. But then LimeWire eventually I came aboard that train. 56022 on the plumbers, 911.com text line. You can get in via the phone lines at 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. Let's talk some Dolphins with Paul in Fort Lauderdale. What's up, Paul?
How are you doing, Alex, tonight?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. I think the Dolphins are going to do real well this year.
I sure hope so. I was thinking 10 wins before the season started with Ryan Tannehill. I'm thinking if Jay Cutler can stay healthy, they can do that.
And Matt Moore is not a bad substitute if they have problems with Jay Cutler.
Yeah, and that's important because, you know, Cutler had two injuries last year, a thumb right. injury and a shoulder injury, so you got to be prepared.
And how's Joseph Addai doing?
Jay Ajayi?
Yeah.
Well, he's still concussed.
He did
put pads and a helmet on yesterday and do a little individual work. Yeah. So I think he's well on the way to coming back, but he's not going to play tomorrow night, I would imagine. But I'm sure he's going to be ready by the time the regular season starts.
And Jarvis Landry looks okay?
He looks really good.
Really?
Really, really good. And I don't think he's going to get that contract extension now because they're using those $10 million on Jay Cutler.
Right.
But Jarvis Leo, he's going to be a Dolphin for at least two more years, no matter what. Because this year he's under contract. Next year they'll franchise tag him.
Yeah.
He looks good. He looks hungry out there.
I got one question before I go. How are the Panthers look to you?
Well, too soon to say, my friend. They had their broadcasting camp the other day, the Panthers. But no, until I see some preseason hockey in September, you're not going to know anything. You're not. You know, they got some great young pieces. I think Alexander Barkov is going to be among the best forwards, best centermen in the National Hockey League. Jonathan Huberto also very good. Like, I think the Florida Panthers can have a bounce back year because they were snake bit injured last season. But, you know, and until they actually start playing some games, we know nothing, Jon Snow. We know nothing. Horn Dog says he owns a pair of penny loafers that he can lend to me to go with my kilt if I lose this bet with Manny Chang on the Dolphins-Eagles preseason game. I could wear the penny loafers with the kilt come bet losing time. Man. Braxton Berrios, Miami Hurricanes wide receiver, said that the quarterback competition is dead even. There's no separation whatsoever between Malik Rozier, Nakosi Perry, and Evan Sheriffs. You know, some interesting comments about Evan Sheriffs from Barry Jackson relayed this in the Miami Herald today. It's easy to overlook Sheriffs, who received no Power 5 conference scholarship offers other than the one from Miami late. But receiver Amon Richards said Sheriffs doesn't have an issue with getting the ball downfield 50-plus yards. Amid previous questions about arm strength, quote, he can throw the ball, he works extremely hard, and he really cares. You can see the passion he plays with. And Braxton Berrios said, I don't care about stars, how many offers you have. I always knew he could be something special. He's a good quarterback overall. That really is the dark horse in this conversation. Evan Sheriffs, the sophomore, like he does not get any talk whatsoever. Because usually the debate amongst Canes fans is, okay, do you go with the flashy true freshman with the highest upside, probably your quarterback of the future no matter what, whether that future is September 2nd of this year or September 2nd of the following year? Most Canes fans agree that Nakosi Perry is the future of that program. So do you go with the future? Do you go with the 18-year-old? Or do you go with the junior who's actually started before, one start against Duke 2 years ago, and 3 years as Brad, or 2 years as Brad Kaya's backup? Do you go with that guy? You go with the freshman? Very little talk for Evan Sheriffs. But Evan Sheriffs, to my understanding, he's the more cerebral quarterback. And if the arm strength is better than we give him credit for, I think that's going to be a factor for him. And he takes care of the football allegedly better than Rozier does and probably better than Nakosi Perry would as a true freshman. I know that Perry, the first couple days in practice, had a problem fumbling too many snaps, but you'd expect that's rookie stuff you're going to get over pretty quickly. But imagine if Evan Sheriffs wins this starting job. He's really going to be the dark horse if he gets that. Let's talk to Terry in Miramar. What's up, Terry?
Hey, what's going on, partner?
Doing well, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. Listen, I want to talk about this topic so long, the Colin Kaepernick thing, but I want to say this to you.
Yeah.
With the owners, right? Everyone said the owners don't want to, the main thing is that if they take Kaepernick, they may lose business and they may lose commercial deals and whatever.
Sure.
But I want to ask you this. You see, one time, I'm going to give you a prime example. One time when R. Kelly get in trouble, and I see the stamp on his CDs in New York. Right in New York, there, everybody stamping on his CDs. And they will never support R. Kelly again.
Yeah.
All right? And after a while, it blew right over. No, after that, R. Kelly was the biggest thing after that.
Yeah.
I say that to say this. With the owners, you have the fans, them, and it's not all the fans, them. It's just some fans not supporting Colin Kaepernick because of what he said and the shirt that he wear. No, I mean, this guy is, I would say, is about the 22nd best quarterback in, he is in about the 22nd league of the quarterback in the NFL.
Okay, I think that's probably
this
fair.
Guy a job. Yeah, because if you go, what are you going to support? You're going to support to keep dollars in your pocket. I can understand that, but at least give the guy a job. It's not like he go out and hurt, beat up a woman, or go out and kill somebody, or physically hurt somebody.
I agree with that completely, Terry, that this guy is, he's being blackballed because he made a decision to take a stand on something that is perfectly within his legal right to do. Go ahead.
But this is what the main thing. I understand everybody already talk about that point. But the point that I want to get across is this. If you give Colin Kaepernick a job, right?
Mm-hmm.
If he not performing, they're going to put him to sit down on the bench, right?
It happened.
So
yeah, it's happened before.
So
with him.
If you give him a job, he perform more than you expected, you think those fans is still going to be against him?
No, if he wins, you jump aboard the bandwagon. I appreciate the call. Here's something to think on Kaepernick, right? I mean, Terry hit the nail on the head. Like, he made both sides of the point that, okay, a lot of owners out there are scared. They are scared of polarizing their fan base. They're scared of losing sponsors. They're scared of losing business. I can understand the owner's reaction to it. I think I'm a little bit less understanding of why so many Americans can't forgive the guy in the first place, right? When all he did was make a peaceful, silent protest. It's because so many people, and I am very much in this group also, you associate the national anthem and the American flag with the troops, with the military, with respect. And if somebody is disrespecting that, you immediately jump to the conclusion that they don't support our troops and respect our country and respect all the great opportunities. But maybe, just maybe for Colin Kaepernick, he doesn't equate the national anthem with military. Maybe he equates the national anthem more with imperialism and persecution, and that's the way that he views that. And for all the wars that we fought and won over the centuries as Americans, those wars were fought and won to give people like Colin Kaepernick the right to make those decisions. But it doesn't change the fact that, yeah, these NFL owners are afraid of losing business, and rightfully so, losing money over this. I don't think that that was necessarily the case with the Dolphins, though. I think Adam Gase made the decision that if my choice is to potentially bring in Colin Kaepernick versus bring in a guy I already know and has already succeeded in my offense and doesn't have to learn my offense, that Jay Cutler is the better option for me. So that was a factor, I think, with the Seattle Seahawks and with the Baltimore Ravens and all the other teams that have taken a pass on Kaepernick. I think it was more about the politics. I'm not so sure if that was the case with the Miami Dolphins. I think with the Miami Dolphins, the choice came down to who does Adam Gase already know can run his offense, and that was Jay Cutler. 9 o'clock hour coming up here on WQAM.